Good morning. Merry Christmas to you. It is a joy to be here. My name is Chip Baggett, and I am one of the pastors here at Cape Spring Baptist. And it is a joy to worship with you on a Sunday like this as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Are you ready? This is the question that everyone seems to be asking each other in the hallway or at the store. Are you ready? At this point, I guess you have to be, right? We're checking our list and making sure that everything is ready for Christmas Day. The Christmas tree, check. Presents for the kids, check. For the rest of the family, Christmas cookies to the teachers, to coworkers. Don't forget the pastors. Check, check, check. Buy the Christmas ham, check. Ask yourself again this year, why are we doing ham? I like what the Rices do. The Rices do Mexican for Christmas, which is awesome. No more ham. But you pull out the china, you set the table, go to Walmart one last time, pack the car, wrap the gifts, send out the Christmas cards. Wow. Christmas season. This is getting a little busy, a little crazy. And it's rather hard to manage all of these details. This Christmas season, we have been walking through the first chapter of John. We have been looking at John chapter 1 in this nativity story that I believe is a behind-the-scenes look at who this child lying in the manger really is. You and I, we are so easily flustered, overwhelmed, even with the simplest of plans, like preparing for Christmas. We have limited power and limited ability, which results in a limited scope for our plans. Imagine if you were today needing to go and buy twice as many gifts. Could you handle that kind of responsibility? Or inviting not just some family into your home for a Christmas dinner, but hosting three or four Christmas dinners? Would that overwhelm the system? Our homes, our lives, our financial resources are limited. We can only do but so much. God, on the other hand, is not limited the way that we are. God is infinite in his ability. He's infinite in his power. He's infinite in his creativity. And John chapter 1 gives us a detailed understanding of who God is and what he has come to do. Christmas is the story of God's amazing salvation coming for us. It's a story of God working throughout all of history, weaving in and out of all the details of life, preparing for a Savior to come. This plan required time and energy that we cannot understand. This plan needed to be implemented by one who is much more capable than you and I. See, the duration of this plan spans back into eternity, and it spans forward into eternity. It details out the lives of billions and billions and billions of people, working God's master plan in a way that we could never conjure up. And it took power and might and authority to implement that we simply do not have. This morning, our text leads us to a character, John the Baptist, who is a small but important character in this story. He's a small cog in the wheel, but nevertheless, it is important as John the Baptist helps prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Pastor John just read the scripture to us. So let me just pray that the Lord would bless the reading and the teaching of his scripture this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we do come to you, and we are grateful people. I am thankful to worship with this group on a Sunday like this as we celebrate your birth. Lord, this season is busy. We make plans, and sometimes we are frustrated by those plans or the lack of details that seem to be fulfilled. And yet, Lord, even as we gather, Lord, we take a moment just to quiet ourselves before you. Lord, to reflect on the gospel story, even this morning, Lord, quiet our souls so that we could hear from you, we pray in Jesus' name. This morning, I want to simply just tell you the story that God has been working out through all of history. I want to tell you the story that at the center of the story has the birth of a child. This story, like any good story, starts in the beginning. And we know from John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, that God was in the beginning. As far as we can trace history back, we find God. And God has always existed, eternal God, in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And together they were in a relationship with one another, a perfect, harmonious relationship, and really without need of anything. And yet, God created, not in need of creation, but in his creativity, spoke the world into existence. We know that the Trinity was present, but it was the Son of God who was active, physically creating the world. All that we know in the beginning was created by the Son. God spoke into this. We see in creation his creativity. We also see his ability, the strength and might that only one who can create the world could implement a salvation plan. This God not only gave us life, but he spoke into existence all things. And look at verse 4 in chapter 1, verse 4 for me. Four simple words that bring profound meaning to this creation. In him was life. Not only did God speak the world in physical life, but he has come to give a spiritual life and be the light that shines in the darkness. You and I and all of humanity have been on this quest to find life. We are looking for purpose and meaning, satisfaction, peace, looking for direction. And we will go all out to find life. As I look at you, there's probably 300 people in this room. 300 people who have been on different journeys looking to find life in different places. Different people look and search in different areas, but we are all pursuing life, whether it's fast cars or nice homes or meaningful careers. Maybe it's cheerful children around the holidays. Maybe it's a bowl win for the first time. Some of you Tech fans, if we could just get a bowl win, life would be good, right? Maybe it's just the wonder of a Christmas morning with a house filled with children and grandchildren, and you're waiting for that one gift to be unwrapped. The joy of life. We are all looking for something to bring us meaning and purpose. We invest ourselves, and what God is saying in this passage is, I have come to give you life. The world in which we live is broken. Life needs to come. Darkness is overwhelming, like a child's toy that breaks on Christmas morning. There is evidence of life, but the created purpose is unfulfilled. So we find ourselves. That's why even on a great day like Christmas, even on one of the best days of the year, we find ourselves at war within us. Maybe you were feeling grief or despair, lust, envy, anger. Doesn't that stink when you get angry on Christmas Day, right? Greed, all of these things, even on the best of days, we find ourselves fighting the darkness inside of ourselves, seeing the darkness in this world. And that's why all those things that we're chasing to bring us life never do. We're drowning in a sea of darkness, looking for something to cling to. And what we see is that God in his amazing story has sent one to bring life and to overcome the darkness. God's people have been waiting through the Old Testament. God created a people for himself, and in these pages we see clue after clue after clue, prophecy after prophecy, foretelling the one who is going to come. Hundreds and hundreds of promises about this Savior. What will he be like, and what will he do? We see clues woven in and out of the history of the people of God, and then we come this morning to our text, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, again, is a supporting character in this story, but important nevertheless. Because he was promised in Isaiah, in Malachi, some of the Old Testament clues were pointing to John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for Christ. And so we're introduced to this wild man. John is he's pretty awesome, and in the right sense of awesome, right? He's a man that's living out in the wilderness. He's a man that wears camel hair and eat locusts and honey. He's a bold preacher, and he's baptizing people. His birth was miraculous. Angels foretold him and gave him a mission. This is quite a remarkable man, and he's creating quite a stir in the religious community outside of Jerusalem. And so the religious leaders have sent a team, a group of men, to go and investigate. Who is this guy, and what is he doing? Literally thousands of people are coming to hear him preach. He's baptizing people, not just Jews, but Gentiles, tax collectors, soldiers, men and women are all coming and listening to this man. And so the religious leaders are interested. So they go and they begin asking him, who are you? Who are you, and what are you doing? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah, the Savior? No, I'm not the Christ. Are you Elijah? Are you the one who is coming in the power of Elijah? Are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? No. Who are you? As you look at the text, you can see these guys, they're thinking, all right, and it even says, now we've got to go back to our leaders, and we got to tell them something. Right? Who are you? And John responds. I love his humble response. An amazing man, a man set apart, a man doing great things. And listen to his response. I'm a voice. I am a voice. I am not the Messiah. I am not the rescuer. I am not the solution to your problems, but I am a voice preparing the way for the Lord. I am a voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He's fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah has said. In those days, there would be a king and his caravan, and as they would travel through the land, there would be men out in front of the caravan. And they would be walking along the roads, and they would be making straight the road, filling in potholes, leveling ground, making the ride of the caravan, of the king, as comfortable as possible as the king traveled the land, making sure there was no barbarians or thieves or any evildoers seeking to harm the king. These people were servants out in front of the king, making straight the path. That's what John's saying. I am but a servant. I am making straight the way of the king. These things took place in Bethany across from the Jordan. But where is this Messiah? They're asking, these religious leaders are asking, who is, if you are not the Messiah, if you are not the Christ, who is the Savior? Look at verse 29 with me. John makes this proclamation. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, this is Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's here. The one that you have been looking for, he's here. It's interesting, in this account of the Nativity, we don't know the name of Jesus until verse 29. In the other accounts in Matthew and Luke, we see the baby and they give the name pretty early on in the account. Here in John 1, we learn a lot about the Son of God. We learn a lot about the Word, what he has done, where he's been, who he's coming for. But we don't know his name until John announces in the presence of the religious leaders. The one who created the world is Jesus. The one who was in the beginning and has always existed, it is Jesus The one who has become flesh and dwelt among us. It is Jesus. The one who is coming to save us from our sin. It's Jesus. I'm not the Messiah. I am Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God's salvation plan has been at work, weaving in and out of history, and it culminates in the birth of Jesus, our Lord. But is it in there? Jesus would go to live a perfect life. He would live a life full of grace and truth, as the text tells us. He would live the life that you and I are called to live, but fail to live. And then at the end of his life, he would die a criminal's death. He would take on the darkness of humanity, the darkness of this world, put it upon himself and in himself so that the light of the world can shine into you and me. Jesus Christ, he would come and defeat death by dying and rising again. This is God's amazing story. It's God's plan, and God is not anxious or fretful that his plan will not come to fruition. God is at work, and even after Christ has come and died and rose, the plan continues today. First century Palestine, fast forward to 2018, Roanoke, Virginia. God is still at work. The same God who has been at work through all of history continues to work today. I wonder why you are here this morning. Is this just the things that we do this time of year? Well, possibly. Or maybe this is something that is very familiar to you. Why ever you are here this morning, I want you to hear this. You are here and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ because of God's amazing plan. Literally thousands of things had to line up today for you to be here. Are we going to grandma's house? Are we going to mom's house? Are we going to grandma's church? Are we going to... Think about all of the things that had to happen so that you and I could be in this place today. Is it coincidence? Is it happenstance? God is at work. God's amazing salvation story is at work even today in this place. And he's giving us an opportunity to hear the gospel once again. Maybe you don't believe the gospel. I would ask you, where are you finding life? What are you looking for to answer the questions of meaning and purpose? What is bringing you peace and lasting joy? We would encourage you to find those things in Christ alone. Maybe you are a believer and you are wondering, what is God doing? We are people who live in darkness but have the light. Take comfort in knowing that God and his master plan wants you to believe again today, to enjoy life in the gospel, to recommit yourself to the purpose that you are living for, and to know for certain that God is with you even in the midst of trial. Whatever reason you are here, know that God is powerfully working all things according to plan. He is not flustered. He is not overwhelmed. He is not anxious with the magnitude of working his salvation throughout history. He was in the beginning. He was the creator of all things, and in him is life. The light of the world has come to expel darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. John the Baptist, he achieved his purpose in proclaiming that the Savior has come. Behold, he says, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, Son of God, will you receive him? in this season, we are so busy. I want us to take some moment. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together, but let's quiet our hearts and souls, and let's reflect this morning on God's amazing salvation that He offers to us. Would you take a moment and bow your head? Maybe you would close your eyes and consider where you are this morning. Will you receive this gift that God is offering?